Good morning. I've got my hearing aids in, and I know y'all didn't say anything this morning. Good morning. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. Before I go any further than where we are right now, I want to thank those that were involved in the outreach yesterday over here at Florida Town Park. If you were involved and you're in the room, I know we probably have a few in the back, but would you just stand for a moment? Those of you, don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Bobby, Joyce. You know what? We reached a number of families in the community yesterday through these hearts that cared for those that might still need Jesus, for those that do know Jesus but still need some love in their life. And I want to thank you for being the church yesterday and for representing Florida Town well. Thank you. And it's wonderful to be able to serve with you and to share the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all be seated for a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand again in a second, though. Isn't it a wonderful day?
Amen.
You know, we're having a fellowship time after the morning service. I understand that there are going to be Easter eggs put out, and they have candy and stuff in them. So I'm going to depart a little early to make sure we get all the Easter eggs out there in place properly. I'm going to find the ones with the chocolate. I'm going to make sure that poison doesn't bother our children. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to have this time with you this morning. I do want to share with you this morning from the book of Acts. I want to pick back up where we started a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1, and if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 4. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Father, thank you so much again for this time that we have. Thank you for this season of celebration, this season of remembering how great your love is for us. And your call to show our love back to you through the mission that you have given us. And Father, I praise you. And I praise you that we have your testimony. And I praise you that you are with us in the testimony. And Father, that we represent you well and honor you as you have honored us. Strengthen us, I pray, today, in this time, and in the time still before us. We ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated, please. And it didn't just finish there. Jesus had just given them a reminder, as he had already taught them the promise that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, so that they could be witnesses in the immediate area of Jerusalem where they were, and that they would go out into Judea and Samaria, and that the word would be carried to all the ends of the earth. But you know what's amazing? even then, having the promise that they were going to have that testimony and that power to take that testimony, this is what followed in that moment. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, also who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing at heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go." So then they returned to Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that they had just watched Christ ascend into heaven and had the words of promise that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and that they would be witnesses in all of the world, beginning right there where they were and spreading out from there. And then as Jesus disappeared into the clouds, they kept standing there watching, looking. What were they waiting for? What were they looking for? Were they looking for the Holy Spirit when it would descend on them? Because, you know, I want to tell you, even in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit descended on someone, they didn't necessarily see that coming. But what the crowds around the one that had the Spirit descended upon, they saw the power of Christ or the power of God in them and through the actions that they did. You know what I'm talking about. How many of you remember Samson? He acted powerfully at moments in his life because he was filled with the Holy Spirit to do certain things that required strength, and then he lost his way and they cut his hair. And he became weak. They strapped him between columns. He became a mockery, a joke, until he was empowered again and he brought the building down. You know, we as Christians today, we do the same things in life, don't we? Sometimes we know that God has spoken to us and given us something to do, but we stand around and we look for further direction. We look for a neon sign to point the way to go. You know, the neon sign is pointing all around, isn't it? It's not pointing to just one person or one place. It's all the world. And the light should be shining to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't just be standing around wondering how we're going to do that. We're going to tell about how good he is in our own life. What he's done for us and how he's helped us. And we too will receive the power that God has promised through the Holy Spirit. The power is not so that we could wiggle our nose and make something magical happen. The power is to stand up in strength and in courage and to say to the world that has been fighting against God since the very beginning that he lives. And he lives within me. Amen. And you can't change that. You can't take it from me. And you can deny it, but you can't disprove it. See, the world can deny God, but they can't disprove God. They always want to say something else, though, to the Christian. Well, when was the last time you saw God? I saw him when I got up this morning. I saw the miracle of being able to open my eyes and be thankful that I have this life. The opportunity to face another day, the good and the bad. You know, can I put it like this? The Joel and the Joel. Because that's the good and the bad, right? Amen. The strength that gives me to face everything that comes at me in this world. Do we always succeed and are we always strong and successful in representing God well? No. But there's always forgiveness. There's always hope that there will continue to be forgiveness. And there's always hope that it's not just for me, but it's for everyone that is still trying to find what their life is all about, what their purpose is, and that they do have value. So many people in this world think they don't have value at all. that they're worthless. But none of us are worthless. Jesus Christ gave his life for all of us. And that testimony is to be carried. But sometimes we get the wrong focus. The disciples had the wrong focus. He said, you're going to be witnesses. You know, he was talking to them and they said, oh, is this when we're going to restore Israel? Is this when the power of Israel and God as our king is going to be revealed? And, you know, all those Gentiles get what they deserve? That's the rest of us, y'all. Us Gentiles, right? Before Christ ever had a chance to show himself to me and for me to say, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins, make me new. Lord, put up with me on this journey, but help me and strengthen me. Before ever there was a chance for me to do that, so many people back then in this day were wanting God to come and in all of his glory and establish the kingdom of Israel and kick those Gentiles out. Y'all know what that looks like? Looks like a football. Professional league. He said, it's not for you to worry about these kinds of things. The times and the seasons that the Father has kept to himself. You don't worry about these kinds of things. But what you do is you go into the world around you and you tell them about me. You don't just tell them about me. You share who I am. You share what I have done. You share what I have done in love for everyone and call them into the family. Ask them to hear the Spirit. Ask them to receive the Spirit. Ask them to find this strength in this life to be a witness in the world. Don't worry about when the kingdom comes. Even in our world today, people are always looking for the kingdom to come. We always want the end to come. We always want God to come and rescue us. We always want to go home. We always want to be done with the pain and the suffering. We always want to be done with the hatred and the evil and the meanness. God said, don't worry about these times. Well, Brother Joel, in the Bible it says, in those last days, you will see wars and rumors of wars. Well, sure you will. Why are you worried about that? Isn't God still in control? Don't worry about that. But be empowered to do the mission God has called you to do and to be part of. And that is to give the testimony of Jesus Christ. The world is going to be the world. Guess what? There'll be rumors of wars, and there will be wars. In fact, we live in a world filled with that today, don't we? I try to keep up with a little bit of it here and there on the news, but you know what? That's not going to stop Christ from coming, but it's not going to cause him to come any quicker than the Father says it's time. So don't worry about it. Use the power that you've been given to be a witness. Not that God is coming, but that God is coming for those that are saved and forgiven of sin. Because that's where the message needs to be. God's coming. We can't stop that. But don't just tell people he's coming. Tell them why. He's not coming to kick the Gentiles out. He's coming to receive those that are his into his arms and into his kingdom. And the message is to share that the table is still open for all who would come. The door is still open for all who will come. And so don't wish for the end. Don't wish for some to be left out just because you're ready for it to be over. Be patient like God is patient. Because God would not have one die and suffer eternal damnation just because we're ready for it to end. God's mission is everyone who will come. And until that last heart concedes Jesus Christ as Lord and finds forgiveness for sin and is reborn a new creation in Christ, Jesus will not sound the trumpet. doesn't mean we can't still have a melody and a hymn going on in our mind and in our hearts and through the testimony we share. Too many people are listening for the trumpet, but they ought to be hearing Amazing Grace sung through our life. You will receive power. They had been given a promise. They had been given the promise of power and the promise of hope. And we're looking at the promise of the power. And the power is not so that they could go out and make the world what they wanted it, but that they could go out and be a witness in a world that's dying, filled with sin, and will refuse them more often than it will accept them. And the power to continue walking in testimony and in truth is what we are filled with power to do. Amen. The first thing that we are filled with is the power of truth. John 15, 26 says, "But when the Helper comes," and that's the Holy Spirit Christ is even talking about in this passage here in Acts, "when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness." When you are empowered with the Holy Spirit, it is so that you can walk in truth and talk in truth, sharing the truth of who Jesus Christ is. John 16, 13 says this, "He will guide you into all truth." You know, immediately when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't have every answer. I know it's hard for some of us to accept that, but we don't. We don't. How many of you are willing to testify this morning you don't have all the answers? Amen. Well, I don't have all the answers about God. Amen. Amen. We're still growing. We're still learning. There are things that God has not revealed to us and will not reveal to us unless he deems necessary for our mission and our purpose in this life. You know, I don't know how God created the sun. Do you know how God created the sun? All I know is it says in the beginning, God created, right? And God began to create. But how did he create the sun and put it where it did so close to these worlds that are in orbit around the sun that did not destroy all that is hanging around it? And the power it must have taken. Where did all of that burning mass and fuel come from? And how did it get compressed into the sun? And how does it stay there? You know, you got sunspots and little rays going out all the time. And you talk about the danger to the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're going to have radio interference today because sunspots and those other things that happen. What do they call them? Those shooting rays out of there. What is that called? Flares. Flares. Ooh, you know what? We need to be a gospel flare. We need to be a gospel flare. Quit worrying about what the sun's doing. That one. Worry about what the other sun is doing. The Lord, the King, the Christ. And be filled with the power of what he has given us to be filled with, the Holy Spirit. And the truth that comes from knowing the Father through his word, being guided in all truth. And let God speak through us. Based on the truth. And the world distorts God and his word so much. But when we stand before the wolves and our words are being twisted and we're being called to account for things we can't answer, don't try to give an answer. Let God speak if there's something to say. Listen to what he says in Matthew 10. He says, "But when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour when you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." So when there is an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, share it in truth. share it in completeness and in wholeness as revealed and given. And don't expound any further than that, because we might be leading astray. We might be telling a story. We might be making ourselves a false prophet. And I've shared this. I'm going to share it again. I might have even shared it a couple of weeks ago, but it's important. We need to hear this. This is how truth gets distorted. When I first surrendered to the call to ministry, my second enlistment in the Navy, it's kind of funny too. Jane didn't even know. And we were driving home from Norfolk to South Carolina to visit family. And I said, I got to throw this out there and see what she thinks about it. Driving along, kids in the back, and I don't even know where we were, somewhere between Norfolk and South Carolina. I said, "What do you think about me getting out?" And she always said, "If you get out, that's fine. I'm with you wherever you go. If I stay in, I'm with you wherever you go." I said, "Well, what do you think about me being a pastor?" Y'all, I'm not kidding. She slid all the way to the other side of the car, and she said, "I'm not a pastor's wife." So the call to mission wasn't just for me. It's for both of us. And it took a long time for both of us to be ready. Many years followed that day and that moment. Convictions had to be given to her as much to me. Can I tell y'all we weren't perfect along that path? Can I tell you I'm still not perfect? Y'all probably don't believe that, but I'm telling you it's the truth. When they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak. Say what God teaches you. I got out of the Navy. Finally went back to the church in South Carolina where I found Christ and was baptized as a kid and grew up. As long as I was in that town, I was in that church, and we were sitting in Sunday school class, and one of the guys that I was friends with asked the Sunday school teacher a question that all Christians struggle with. Well, what happens to people who never hear about Jesus? How many of you have an answer in here for that? All of you do. Because there's only one path unto heaven, isn't it? What is that path? Jesus Christ alone. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, but C.S. Lewis said, Jesus Christ, he either is who he says he is, or he's a liar. He's a lunatic on the level of someone who calls himself a poached egg. He either is or he isn't. You decide. But your eternal life depends on how you decide. I tell you, he is. You know what my Sunday school teacher said? Our Sunday school teacher said at that time. And this is where we need to let God guide us. And sometimes God says, be quiet and say, you know, I really don't know how to explain that. We'll have to ask God for guidance before we try to define it. But the Sunday school teacher, afraid of not giving an answer that was suitable, said, I'm sure God has a purpose and a way. Well, what does that mean? That there's another way to heaven apart from Jesus Christ? Well, that's a lie. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my friends, please do not forget the truth of John 3:17. Because you can't have one without the other. to explain how desperate and how real this situation is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world already needs saving because the world is already condemned. And if anybody can find a path into heaven apart from Jesus Christ, none of us need him. And all that have pleaded to him have pleaded in a lie and can find themselves condemned eternally. If Jesus had just stayed away, how many more people could have been saved? You understand what we're saying? There's only one path. It's Jesus Christ alone. And the world doesn't want to hear it. The world is already condemned. They can't explain it and they won't listen to the explanation provided. I'll find a way. Oprah Winfrey said, there are many paths to heaven. And if you're basing your eternal state of salvation on what Oprah Winfrey says, there's not much I can do to help you. Or any of those other clowns out there that try to take the Word of God and expound it in what they want it to be because it's not convenient. You take the whole counsel of God or you don't take it at all. You take it for the truth that it is or you discard it as a lie. But you decide. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us and guides us in truth. And this is God's word revealed to us. It's not open for debate. I think I can find a better way. What else are you thinking? Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall in the ditch. Is there another way? See, this is the power of the testimony that God has called us to walk with. And he's called us in the same manner in which he called Joshua to walk with courage and strength. Courage to face the world around us. Courage to face those even in our church family and our immediate family. Courage and strength to stand up with the word that God speaks and not to embrace it and embroider it with anything the world teaches. It's okay if you live a homosexual life. It's okay to live the way God made you. It's okay. God is a God of love, and all of us are loved and all of us are saved. And I tell you the truth, you trample on the blood of Jesus Christ and you are making a mockery of God. And God says in his testimony of himself, I will not be mocked. Amen. To be filled with truth, let God speak. And when they deliver you up, don't worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour. What you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And listen to these words. They might not try to argue with you, but they might try to challenge you through their own belief system. Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. I mean, how many of you ever been to school higher than, you know, high school? I mean, there may be a little philosophy in high school, but when you get into the secular universities and teaching institutions, boy, philosophy and all of that is really prominent. They like to try to tell you all of these things that men have realized through their contemplation of the world and of things unseen and why God is, well, he might be a part of it, but he's just not that prominent, y'all. If we just turn internally to ourselves and work it out here, we can get it all straight. We can figure it out. We can even become gods ourselves through our own doings. Empty deceit. traditions of men. It's okay to know what your enemy teaches, so you know what the enemy's going to say. Don't embrace it as truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in testimony. And don't be afraid. This is the promise of power. The presence of the Holy Spirit to fill us with truth and to give us words to speak. And that we should not be afraid, because we already know the world hated him first. If the world hates you, you know it hated me first. Paul says in 2 Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir it up. Stir it up. And stand out there for the world to see you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so when the world comes at you with all of that deceit and those philosophies and those traditions of men, you see it for what it is. And though you stand there in disbelief that somebody could believe some of the things that they're saying, and yet they look at you and say, I can't believe you're such an idiot. How can you believe in something you've never seen? Well, I believe in air. I've never seen emotions, but I have felt them. I can't see the space between me and the moon, but it's there. I haven't seen Satan, but I have seen the work of evil. Amen. I know he's there. I haven't seen angels, but I have felt the presence and seen the work of God. I know he is there. And if the balance of all of this is true, God is real. Satan is real. And we are in a battle. We are in a fight. We are fighting for our life in Christ. And once that battle is won for us, we stand and face the world and reach out to those that are still dying in sin with the testimony of Jesus Christ. That God did so love the world that he gave his son. That God did call all of us to find salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's not God's fault if there are people in the other side of the world that have never heard of Christ. You don't know why, do you? Why would he say that? Well, let me give you my reasonable explanation for why. I've shared this with some recently too. Adam and Eve got kicked out of heaven, didn't they? Y'all remember that? Reading about that? Or do I need to start over at the very beginning? They got kicked out of heaven. Now, did Adam and Eve know who God was? Yes. There's no doubt. There's no question. Nobody even begins to ask that question. And yet, their very first children, one killed the other. Why? Was it because they didn't know God either? Well, it was because they didn't know God. And one was doing it the way God wanted it to be done, the offering that was made. And the other one decided, God, I'm going to do it the way I want. You can take it or leave it. And God said, I'm not going to take it. But if you do what I'm asking you to do, don't you know that I'll accept you too? And instead of doing what God asked, he said, well, I'll just remove the one that's accepted, so I'm the only one he can have. And he killed his brother, for crying out loud. That's the ways of the world. They don't want Jesus Christ, so they're going to take out all of those who believe so they can make themselves the only choice. And God's already said through his son, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one will come by any other way. And so meanness spread and people grew, and you know, I guess people were angry at God. And so as fathers had sons, they just quit talking about God. They began to make up their own ways to worship a God, or to worship themselves, or to carve something in stone. And I don't know why. until you get to the days of Noah, and the world is filled with sin, drinking and marrying and giving unto themselves and just living any old way. And God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And he said, well, what's an ark? Because it didn't rain. You know, it still wasn't raining by that point. So God built an ark through Noah. People coming around laughing. I wonder how many years they sold tickets. Hey, he's working hard today. Tickets are $5 a piece. Next day, he worked a little hard yesterday. We're only going to charge $1 for you to come watch today. He's not doing so much. You know how when you get older, you get tired, right? Working that hard, some days you can put more into it than others, right? They stood around mocking him. Didn't even understand what he was doing. He got all the animals, got his family in the ark, shut the door, and it began to rain. People died. A world of people died. Noah got off the ark with his family. How many of them do you think knew God? All of them, right? So between Noah and us today, why do you think the fathers quit sharing with the sons who God was? Until there were so many people in all of the world and so many families that had never heard of God. Why do you think people quit talking about God? The same reason Cain did, I guess. Didn't suit him. And when generations of people and cultures grow without no one from the very beginning, from the days of Noah coming off the ark unto this day, until they quit talking about God altogether, they have no idea who it is, and people want to tell Christians it's God's fault. Why is it God's fault that people quit talking about Him? Why is it God's fault that they quit recognizing the creation that He gave us to live in? Why is it God's fault? And He had to give His Son so that we could find forgiveness of sins. Why would the world expect more of Him than that? Because it's the ways of the world. It's the philosophies of men. It's the traditions of men to always blame someone else. And if there's no one else there, well, it always goes back to God. Now, that's not a pleasant thing that I just described to you. But when people push God out of their lives and he stays off in the distance watching, it's not His fault when you become what you want to be. And it's the responsibility of the fathers and the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers and the great-great-grandfathers. These are the ones that are responsible for cultures and for hearts that have never heard the truth of God. It's also a burden that the world of Christians carry to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the world's not going to listen to you. They hadn't listened for generation after generation. Why are they going to listen to you now? You come in there with some new idea. Well, they knew who you were when you were growing up. You believe that kid talking to me like that? You remember how much trouble they were? They caused so much trouble. They hurt so many people's lives. Do you know they just got out of prison? Wasn't there a thief that was hanging on a cross beside Christ? Christ came to save us all. He's not looking at what we were. He's looking at what we can be. And when we look at the world, that's what we have to see. Not who people are, but who people can be. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love sound mind. You want to know what to tell the world who is out there waiting to find whatever it is they're looking for? They're waiting to find Jesus. They're waiting for it to be spoken. They're waiting for it to be lived. Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all of the house of Israel, and I'm saying let all of the house of this world know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. And I'm saying whom was crucified for us all, both Lord and Christ, the path of salvation and peace with Him. That's the truth. And that's the testimony. And unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't stand out there in the world and tell them, because you're afraid of what they're going to ask. You're afraid that they're going to say, well, who are you? I knew you when you were a kid. Or they're going to say something worse. Or do something worse. Because we're not willing to walk in faith and in trust and display the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, first to the Jew and to the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have all the answers about this journey with Christ. I can tell you this, it's wonderful. It's fun. It's hard. I get in the way of myself a lot of times. I might get in the way of you sometimes. And for that, if I do, I apologize. Ask for your forgiveness. But I say this also. Don't blame God. God didn't hold anyone to blame after they came and asked for forgiveness. He said, let's go now. Let's move forward. So that's what I'm calling us to be as a church, a family, faithful believers, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the testimony of Jesus Christ, so the world can hear and see He is alive. They say they can't see Him. Well, we need to show Him a little better, don't we? Ask God for help. And for strength. He'll remind you that I'm here. He'll say that to you. I'm here. Why are you asking? Then you say, okay, Lord. I'm going now. He's going to say, okay, I'm with you. And then you'll say, but I'm scared. He'll say, well, it's okay. It can be scary. In this world full of wolves. But I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, nor of timidity, but of power and of strength. And once you grab hold, one step after the other, it just is easy to do. Ask me, I know. Been there, done it. I still stump my toe along the way. I mean, really hard every once in a while. How about you? God's still in the Band-Aid business. He likes to fix stumped toes, bruised hearts, broken hearts. He likes to enlighten minds that are drowning in the traditions and the philosophies of men. But He needs witnesses, and He's called us to be it. Are you up for the challenge? I pray you are. God loves you, but He loves those out there as well. And that's who He's called us to tell. Celebrate together here celebrate even more out there with them. The good news of Jesus Christ. He saves. He forgives. And He heals. Amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus today, I'm inviting you to come and to find that new life in Him and to find the power of that Spirit and that testimony living in you so that the world can see God does change people and He does give them hope and life and better things to think about. And the altar is open if you will come. Father, I do thank You for this day. I thank You for the time that we have been given. I thank You, Father, for the truth of who You are. Father, I thank You for the mission that You have given us. And it's been given because Your Spirit has been received. Lord, the seal for the day of redemption, the truth that guides and enlightens and empowers and heals. Father, I thank You that You have loved us all so greatly. Lord, help us to remember it every day and to walk in that strength and to honor You. And if there is one here, Father, that does not know You as Lord and Savior, I pray today, Lord, speak to their heart and open it so they can hear and receive, Lord, the forgiveness of sins and the hope of new life in You. And again, we ask this to Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come?